Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sangai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Real fast, if you're looking for some wrestling in the next couple of days, tonight, WCWO in Indianapolis, like normal. You have Power Pit Pro Wrestling in Roseburg, Oregon. 3-2-1 Battle in Seattle, Washington. Wrestling Revolver in Des Moines, Iowa. And then tomorrow night, you have EPW in Clarksville, Indiana, DCW in Pascagoula, Mississippi, and World's Finest Wrestling happening in Connersville, Indiana. Without any further ado, I want to welcome our guest to the show today, someone that has worked in the past for both WCWO and World's Finest Wrestling, Chase Holiday. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how we doing, everybody?
Doing very well, and since it happens to be your first time with us, we're going to start you out with our traditional first-timer question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Oh, man. So I first got into wrestling when I was 13 years old. I remember, I believe it was 08 or 09, but it was the summer of John Cena versus Batista. It was that SummerSlam. That was the big pay-per-view once I actually started watching. Before that, I knew about wrestling, but I wasn't very much into it. I knew from playing games when I'd go to my friend's house, all I cared about was The Rock, because that was the only person I really actually knew. But once... one summer, when you're a kid and it's hard to find stuff to watch on, like, Monday nights, I saw a Monday Night Raw commercial, which led to me watching that, and then they were like, oh, we also have ECW tomorrow, and I was like, okay, so I started watching that, and then it was like, oh, SmackDown on Friday. Next thing I know, I'm watching shows, and I can't miss a week without watching a Raw, ECW, and a SmackDown, and next thing I know, I also threw in TNA in there as well, so... That's what got me started.
Now, at what point was it that you said that this was going to be the career path, this is what you wanted to do, and did you have a background in any way that was going to prepare you for what wrestling training ended up being?
I can't pinpoint an exact marker where I was like, this is it. I just remember after shortly getting into it, I was like, you know what? This is what I want to do. I'm gonna be a wrestler. And that never changed. There was nothing that made me be like, oh, maybe I should change my mind. It was just, nope, I'm going to be a wrestler. And I was dead set on it, and nothing was changing that. Growing up, I did a lot of sports. Prior, before I knew I was going to be a wrestler, like I played a lot of baseball, basketball. I got into football in high school. I did a little bit of when I was very young. I did some karate. When I got older, I did some jiu-jitsu. I tried amateur wrestling for a little bit. That's all the stuff sports-wise. I also took theater classes as well to help. Everything that I did in terms of like. Once I decided I was going to be a wrestler, everything I did in terms of, like, sports and other stuff was because I was like, this will help me in some way to be a better wrestler. So, yeah, I did a lot of that prior to becoming a pro wrestler.
You have traveled quite a bit for wrestling already. You've been out here in Seattle. You've been to New York City. You've been to... Indiana,
Ohio, Illinois, all those places out there. A lot of places have been covered on the map for you already in a short time. What's it like being so well traveled at such an early stage in your career?
I absolutely love it. I love getting the opportunity to travel anywhere and everywhere, especially beforehand when I was younger. I very much wanted to find something that would allow me to travel because I like going to new places. And unknowingly, like, pro wrestling eventually became that. And I'm originally from California, but because of wrestling, I've been to, like how you mentioned, Iowa, Illinois. I've been to New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia. I've been to Indiana, where I was just recently based out of. I've been to Seattle, which is one of my favorite cities that I've been to. Ohio. Just, I'm very thankful for all the places that I've been able to wrestle in or visit or even pass through, because just as torturous as being in the car for X amount of hours can be, when you're with the right people, it all makes up for it.
Now, we first crossed paths in Seattle, and you were out here mainly just to help out at a show and didn't have the most solid of game plans when you were out here. You mentioned how Seattle was one of your favorite cities. What is it about Seattle that drew you to it, and are you still following the wrestling scene here from afar?
So, yeah, I still follow, mainly for the fact because I'm still very much interested in Defy Wrestling and 3-2-1 Wrestling, and I look forward to adding those eventually into places that I've worked. I first went out there because I saw that Progress Wrestling from the UK was going to be out in Seattle, and I messaged Jim Smallman and Matt Farmer to see if they had any room for anything pre-show or anything like that. And they didn't have anything guaranteed, but as wrestling goes, it never hurts to show up and try to help out, because anything can happen. So that's basically why I was out there. And Seattle was just a great place while I was out there. I loved the weather. Everybody was real cool. Minus that everything's super expensive. I wouldn't mind living out there, but.
Now, you, like we said, are still in the early stages of your career, and I know you have come around a lot of veteran wrestlers, people that have been around for a long time, and with that comes a lot of advice that will be given. What would you say is the best advice that someone has given you thus far?
That's actually pretty tough. The best advice I've probably been given so far is probably just to do what you enjoy in terms of wrestling. A lot of people get caught up in other things and focus on other things, but as long as you're having fun and you're enjoying what you do and the product you put out, that's really the most important part of it.
Now, since you are so well traveled and you've been to a lot of different promotions, that means you have been in a lot of different actual rings. Everybody that has been around for any length of time has that one or two specific ring that they like to wrestle in the best. What would you say has been your favorite ring so far?
My favorite ring to wrestle in? The Glory Pro Ring. The Glory Pro Ring is probably my favorite ring to actually wrestle around in.
Now, one of the things that is going to help someone like yourself out in this era of wrestling is social media. It's become a very important tool for wrestlers to be able to get their name out there, to figure out where to go to travel for wrestling, get connected with people that can help them advance their career. A lot of wrestlers and a lot of promotions still struggle with how to best use social media. A lot of people are using it as a very successful tool. In your opinion, do you think the majority of wrestlers that you come across and even the promotions that you follow and work for know how to properly utilize social media, or do you think it's still an ongoing struggle within the wrestling industry?
I think all the best promotions and the best wrestlers, all the ones that you see succeeding and thriving and that you see everywhere, are the ones who actually know how to handle their social media real well, whether it comes to promoting their shows or just putting out content for promos, such as Warhorse, who puts out promos all the time. Danhausen's always putting out different types of content. Effie, all those types of people that are now getting booked that are from the Midwest, or Effie from the East Coast, now getting booked over in the West Coast and other places, getting booked on these bigger shows because they know how to brand themselves on their social media. And the same goes for the shows like PW Revolver, AIW. There's plenty of other bigger shows, but all the ones that people want to be a part of know how to handle and work their social media team and their social media presence and branding.
Now, as someone that does travel quite a bit and someone that has been to quite a few different promotions, do you think that social media has helped open up doors for you where, say, 20, 25 years ago, you may not have seen those doors open just because there wasn't a social media at that point?
Yeah, because social media is a good way for people to reach out to other people if they don't have a direct number. Maybe about 25 years ago, it was like you just had to go to a show, and sometimes you weren't aware of certain shows. But now with social media, people post shows all the time, so you can find a date and location and address of where the show is going to be. And through that, you can either contact that specific page, or you can find the promoter and reach out to them. So being able to reach out to people on social media is a beneficial way and is definitely something that's helped a lot of wrestlers going forward. So it's a great benefit to that, to have easier access to people to reach out to.
Now, in WCWO recently, one of the promotions you've worked quite a bit for in Indianapolis, you were recently the champion. You lost that championship very recently and seemingly are leaving the company. The person that has the championship now, Ace Perry, has undergone a thing where he is wrestling all Ironman matches in defense of the championship. So every title defense he has is automatically an Ironman match. What do you think of the rule he has implemented as far as being a champion for the company but having his own specialty match be in every title defense?
It's very on brand for sure. We always joke about Ace Perry wanting to go about 60 minutes or so. I think it's great that he had that after I had lost the title, that he had eventually gone around and won it, that he decided to do that, because that's more, it puts more prestige and it's more of a challenge. Not so much for him, because that man can go 30, 45, 60 minutes if he really wants to, but everybody else. So it's a good call to those in the locker room at that specific place at WCWO for people to step up and see if they can really go.
Your last match at WCWO ended up being more or less a gauntlet match. You had several opponents come out and want to wrestle you before you left that night. What was that moment like when you had so many people that wanted to get into the ring with you there in Indianapolis?
I definitely didn't expect as many people to come out as they did. Like, I at first, it was a total, I think, of 6 people in total that I had wrestled. I had went in and I had wrestled one match against Jax Rivers, and I beat him. And then the next person came out and they said, well, I guess you can't leave if we just keep you wrestling. So they just kept sending people out to see if they could find somebody to beat me. But it was definitely an honor to see so many people come out. Even Basher came out, and I'd never shared the ring with him. Wolfit came out, and then the last match that I had ended up wrestling by the end of the six-man gauntlet was Braden Lee, a good friend of mine who we've traveled together. We've teamed and we've been in matches together, but we never had a true singles match. And so even after the gauntlet, that was the best of a true singles match that we got. And I definitely think it's definitely one of my favorites.
I also need to get in the ring with Basher. I'm trying to get, you know, the group set of that family. Oh. Now, we have a game on the show that we like to play. We call it Word Association. I know, throw out the names of some people that you most likely have come across in your career, and the first word or two that comes to mind is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of word association?
Sounds good to me.
Here we go. First name, Billy Starks.
Little sister.
Matt Nix.
Good friend.
Don Basher.
That's Pops.
Sammy Callahan.
Ooh, Revolver.
Jonathan Wolf.
Underrated.
Paloma Starr.
Has potential.
TJ Kemp.
Too cool.
Alice Crawley.
My kid.
Toby Lee.
What was that last one, Toby Lee?
Yeah.
That one's hard for more than just one word. Always helpful.
Anthony Lee.
Lost cause, but not a lost boy.
Hongo Kong.
Oh, they don't have it on here?
Wise.
Max Sterling.
What's a good one?
When I saw that Street Abrams, where I said, this is when I first met you.
Hard worker.
It's right across
the street. The last name, Jason Levi.
Is this still a drive now?
Good brother.
Now, as you travel and you go to different states, you're probably going to pick up on the fact that every state is different. Some states have no commissions, no regulations on pro wrestling, so promoters can do what they want. Some states have a very lax commission where as long as you pay the fee and submit whatever paperwork they want, you can do anything you want. Some commissions are extremely strict where you see the commissioner at shows and they will stop shows if they see violations of the rules. Just as an overall entity, do you think that commissions are good for professional wrestling or bad for professional wrestling heading to 2020?
I think it depends. I know Louisiana has a commission and Kentucky has a commission, all just to keep their, like, everything in check. I believe Kentucky has a commission because they have a bad history of wrestling over there, so they try to keep everything in line. So I get why they have it because of their past experience, but I don't think it's as necessary now as when they first put it up.
I just going to put out there that in Washington there is a commission and a license required.
And looks like I'll have to get one.
Absolutely. In word association, we mentioned Matt Nix, and he has been doing a lot of big things over the last few years. He, of course, recently was on AEW television, and I know he was a big part of your career early on. He even got you a place to stay in Seattle, as I recall it. What has Matt Nix's influence been like on you so far?
Matt Nix has always been a good friend of mine. He has something special with what he does in freelance in Chicago, and he helps a lot of people, and even with the Freelance Academy, helping bring more really good professional wrestling to the Chicago area, especially when it's already – Chicago's oversaturated with wrestling, but all of it's really good, and I believe he's a good part of that, and I'm thankful to have been able to call him a friend and to be friends together in this business.
From matches I have seen of yours, I know that one of the things that you have experienced quite a bit of is the knife edge chop as a move used against you. I know in the areas that you regularly visit, there's a lot of very hard knife edge choppers out there. Whom would you say has the hardest chop?
The hardest chop, if I can't say I think I do, then it would definitely be Gary J. Gary J is probably the hardest chop that I've encountered so far.
Well, we have another game on the show that we like to play, and you might be perfect for this one. We call the game Fact or Crap. And just using your knowledge of wrestling and your own experiences, you will determine if, in your opinion, something is an actual fact that happened or just a bunch of crap someone made up in a locker room one day. Now, your fact or crap urban legend for you to determine is that Bruiser Brody had secretly bought into WWC in Puerto Rico days before he was murdered by Invader 2. Do you think that is a fact that he bought into the company, or do you think that's just the urban legend out there?
I think that's just an urban legend.
All right. We'll call that one crap then. At this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is with us, and he has questions of you as well, so I'm going to pass things over to QT for a bit.
All right, sounds good to me.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Chase.
Hey, how we doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Chase, did I hear correctly that you went out for a theater in high school?
I did theater in high school, yes.
Were you in the all-time classic Midsummer Night's Dream? And if so, did you play Oberon the Fairy?
No, I was not in that play. My friends were, though, but I did have to see it for class. I did one play when I was in high school, mainly because I was more focused on football up until my last semester, where I was like, all right, well, football's done, so I'll trial for a play, and I did the real Inspector Hound, where I was Inspector Hound. So that's the only play I have under my books.
Whoa, wow, Inspector Hound, very nice. Okay, All right. Well, Chase, did you play defensive end in high school? Was that the position you played?
Yes, that is.
Aha! Once again, and I hope Golden Song is listening. My video analysis continues at a 98% accuracy level. This is huge. How did I know you played defensive end? It was through video analysis. Okay. Well, now, Chase, did you like The Longest Yard number 2, the movie with Adam Sandler, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and the great Colleen?
Yes, I did. It's actually one of my favorite movies.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Whose role do you think Raven or who did a better acting for the great Colleen or Stone Cold?
I'm sorry, I had a hard time hearing that question. Can you ask me one more time?
Who did you think did a better part in that movie or is the better actor, the great Coley or Stone Cold?
Oh, Stone Cold.
Oh, okay. Wow, all right. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans why you gave Stone Cold the edge?
Stone Cold definitely had a lot more to do in the movie than nothing against Kali, but he wasn't as involved as Stone Cold was. So Stone Cold had more work to do to make up for it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Okay. Well, Chase, my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington tell me that you had a match for New Wave Pro Wrestling on November 22nd against someone named Gary J. How did you do?
It went really well. It was for my at the time I was the New Wave Pro Crossroads champion, and so it was for that title. I was very excited for it, and I ended up retaining my title. Gary J. put up a heck of a fight, and he definitely left my chest red afterwards, and which is not something that happens often, if rarely at all, but it definitely was a match that I personally very much enjoyed.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very, very good. Very okay. Well, Chase, have you ever met a female wrestler named Amazing Maria?
Yes, I have.
What would be your word association, a word for her, if you had to play word association? What's your word association for her?
Amazing Maria definitely, once I started getting around to IWA, she definitely helped take care of me and my carload. She took us in and helped look out for us and would give us advice. So she's definitely like one of my wrestler moms, per se.
Oh, okay. All right. I myself am going to use like a mother of a bald eagle. That's you did.
Right.
A bald eagle. Okay. Well, Chase, I saw your YouTube video entitled Chase Validators of the New York Area. My first question is, first time you have wrestled New York.
I'm sorry. One more time. Again, you had cut out a little bit on my end.
Oh, okay. Well, first, you said you recently did an entitlement. This is one of the most appreciated and also the most important. Is this the first time you had wrestled?
Oh, me versus Levi? Me and Levi have wrestled maybe 3 or 4 times. Each one's been different. It's funny because we travel together and we're also in we have our group, the Lost Boys, that we're a part of together. So whenever we have to wrestle each other, it's always a good time. It's always something different, and it's always a good way to push each other. He is a crazy Amish guy, though, so I give him that.
Oh, well, I think this particular video, it was posted on YouTube in September.
Yeah, I think that one is the one, maybe our second time that we, or no, it was our third time that we had wrestled. And it's the one at WCWO, correct?
I'm not sure if it was, if I know Wayne Silver was the referee at that time.
It's the one at WCWO that got posted. I know that we had went in and we were like, all right, well, what are we doing tonight, basically? And we thought that we didn't do anything. We still beat each other up pretty good, but it was like we weren't trying to hurt each other too bad because we're Lost Boys together. So that was our approach for that match.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, Vince's music is a huge part of our service question. It is confirmed that our solution that is up in your chest by a wrestler who today this year that the match with Levi took place, but do you recall if your entrance music was by Dr. Dre and Ice Cube of NWA? Can you confirm this?
One more time, just so I got it down in my head. I'm confirming.
If your entrance music against Levi in I believe it was a September match, was by Dr. Dre and Ice of NWA.
It was not. No, I believe that night it was. I'm trying to think, it was probably by YBN Cordae.
Oh, okay. I'm not quite familiar with it, the music. Not really. Well, Chase, at the 1 minute and 42-second mark of the video, the entrance music that Levi hit, and to my surprise, it was not Amish Paradise by Weird Al Yankovic. Were you also surprised by his Willie Nelson entrance music?
I try to get him. Me and some of the other Lost Boys try to get him to use Amish Paradise, but he's not sold on it. But we figured out that whenever he teams with Hoodfoot, that they'll use Amish Paradise as a favorite of their two music styles.
In hindsight, could you have seen Levi suddenly backing away from the double screen and finished the second, including to the far corner of the room, and as you and your manager punched down on the phone handle, he could have set off in place from a detonation device hidden on his body, much like Hogan Scissor or Bugs Bunny running and dancing up.
Sorry, one more time for me.
At the 4 minute and 3 second mark, Levi invited me to turn the butter to send it to the room. In the hindsight, if you had seen Levi slowly backing away from the butter turn at the 4 minute and 3 second mark, and returning to a far corner of the room, as you and your manager pushed down to the butter turn, and he could have stopped from closing detonation device sitting in his body. That's like Hogan Carroll's or Bugs Bunny Daffy Duck.
Buddy.
I'm sorry, what was that?
The last thing I'd heard was the Bugs Bunny or Daffy Duck, And if I were, if I'm picking between the two, then I'm going Bugs Bunny.
Oh, no. It was that brother's turn that he invited you into the ring to rebuttal with.
Oh.
He thought it had been a detonation device.
Sorry, yeah. I'm just having a hard time getting service currently. But, yeah, he invited me into the ring, me and Levi. And I believe we just kind of, we probably churned the butter. And that's the thing. He always tries to invite people and show people, you know, how to churn their own butter. And then even as a friend of his, he's always trying to show us and tell us how great it is. So I let him show me.
Well, you better be careful the next time. I think that could be an excellent version of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Chase, the Amish people work long hours on their farms doing heavy manual labor, like plowing fields, without the help of John Deere tractors. They raise corn without the help of hydraulics, or electric nail guns, and they also, as you experienced, churn their own butter, and they do not just go to the store to get butter in their Pontiac GTO Firebirds. My question is, were you aware or had in the back of your mind that Levi was probably tough as nails because of all his farm labor and mostly hand and back?
Oh, I definitely knew beforehand that Levi was definitely a strong one from all of the labor he does. He's always out there laying down the foundation, building houses, riding his horse and buggy around, churning butter. That man is 100% through and through Amish, so we knew he had some ridiculous Amish strength hidden in his bones.
Oh, okay. Well, the Amish had a similar lifestyle as compared to the castaways on Gilligan's Island. My question is, how do you think Levi would have fared on Gilligan's Island if he was suddenly time traveled to the island, bearing in mind that he would have had been lucky to be hunted to speak and cut his training short by pursuing the affection Marianne and Ginger, and to a lesser extent, Mrs. Howell.
I think Levi himself, if he was stuck on Gilligan's Island, would have either started a whole civilization already, or he would have built the boat and got out of there a lot quicker without fail.
Okay.
There wouldn't even be the need for a show at that point. It would just be how one man built a boat after he got stuck on an island and left.
Oh, okay. So, in your opinion, he would not have pursued Marianne and Ginger or Miss Howell, in your opinion?
Oh, no. He's very faithful to his wife that he has.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Chase, keeping in mind that you could have thrown off Levi's concentration by having a Marianne or even a Stacy Keebler-like manager / valet, why did you choose the lesser, easy-on-the-eyes manager that you had? He was not exactly a woman of glow wrestling type.
No, I wish I had an actual answer for that one. That's something you would have to ask Levi.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, okay. I was talking about your manager. He was okay. All right. Well, Chase, at the 4:58 mark, you asked referee Wayne Silver if he was going to check Levi for foreign objects, and he said something like, "No, I trust him." My question is, just because Levi and his Amish people are devout with a Bible does not mean he could have had a horse and buggy whip down his coveralls. Did you talk to Wayne Silver about this after the match?
Yes, I did. I definitely confronted him about it after the match, saying, "Hey, man, you never know what's in that man's overalls and his boots that he that he handmade himself, so it's always good to check him. Not that I don't trust Levi, but just for standard per match to check the man.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Okay. Well, Chase, Levi's announced weight was 4 bales of hay. After the match, did you yourself do a Google search on how much a bale of hay's accepted weight is? Did you do a Google search?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'm pretty sure it's somewhere in the weight of 25 or 30 pounds if it's wet. 30 pounds. Something like that. All right. Well, Chase, at the 7-minute and 2-second mark of the match, you had Levi backed into the corner, and you missed with a knife-edge chop. And you also missed at the 7-minute and 9-second mark. Well, at the 7-minute and 9-second mark, Levi missed with his own knife-edge chop. You and Levi then missed with 3 other knife-edge chop attempts. This is the first time in all my wrestling video analysis that I have seen 8 consecutive knife-edge chops by 2 opponents miss. Now, Chase, everyone knows that the hardcore Amish ways are slowly being whittled down by the modern world. On rare occasions, the Amish are permitted to accept rides in cars, use a cell phone, and even use a computer to set up Amish dating websites, such as Devout Pipe. My question is, have you been predicting for years now that you after both we will soon see the debut of robot wrestling in the ring as a human versus robot wrestling due to the politically correct movement, transgender robot wrestling, and then human versus artificial normal and transgender intelligence wrestling? Have connected with one of those knife edge chops to you if that Levi thing also I'm giving it. But it all makes a little bit different.
Sorry, can you repeat that one more time for me? Just the main question part, please.
Oh, okay. Well, what was the deal with the 8 consecutive knife edge chops that you and Chase threw at each other? He threw 4 knife edge chops that miss, and you see 4 knife edge chops that miss. In all my years of video analysis, I have never come across 8 consecutive knife edge chops missed. Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, just hard each other hits, and I mean, goal of the match is to win. It's the same as like if you were in a boxing match, you'd want to get hit, right? So knowing how my opponent hits, I'm going to do everything I can to duck and dodge, and if his strikes just as he did mine.
Oh, okay. Well, Chase, you might not have heard the second part of that question. I'm saying everyone knows that the hardcore Amish way is slowly being whittled down by the modern world. On rare occasions now, the Amish are permitted to accept rides in cars, use cell phones, and even use a computer to set up Amish dating websites, such as Devout Pious Friends. My question is, have I been predicting for years now that we will soon see the debut of robot wrestling in the ring, as in human versus robot wrestling, and due to the politically correct movement, we will see transgender robot wrestling, and then human versus artificial, normal, and transgender intelligence wrestling. Could an Amish robot wrestler have connected with one of those knife-edge chops that Levi failed to connect with? That's what I'm getting at.
Oh, if I was hit with one of those, that would probably be the end of the match. But if a robot Amish man hit me with a knife-edge chop.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Well, yes, you will soon see the rise of artificial intelligence in the ring. You will. Yes. Until the slow 20 minutes of the match, you had the upper hand as you hit Levi with a wide variety of punishing moves, such as a blow to his jaw, even a few times, up in track, and also a kick to the ribs. Flying on almost biblical choice of reasons, Levi hit me with two very specific two-centers at the 15-18 and 15-19 mark of the match. He also attempted a third back-to-belly suplex at the 15-30 mark, but he blocked it. After the last recorded blow to the head, he had a belly to back suplex to the leader at the 14-03 mark. He survived it, and he hit the third back-to-belly in the span of 56 seconds at the 14-11 mark. You barely picked it up hard at the 2-7-8 spin count, and he got a better shoulder with an eighth of a second to go. But shortly after the video of this match ended, can you tell the listeners who got the win?
Yeah, the exchange of suplexes that I had gone about was that's one of Levi's specialties, is throwing them suplexes, especially with how strong he is. So I obviously wasn't able to avoid all of them, but I did try to give him back in return for the ones that he had given me was the main goal. But even after the match, even though I came out victorious, he had definitely done all the damage that he could do with those suplexes.
Yeah. I could go out on the limb and guess that not many people can describe two back-to-back suplexes on the leader. It's my guess. So I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Chase, we have one more game on the show, and I think you're a perfect candidate for this. We call it Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk. I will ask you a series of two choices, and the one that you prefer is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk? Oh, Chase, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right, so here we go. We'll go with the round of Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk. One you prefer is the answer. First choice, trunks or singlet?
Singlet.
Pinfall or submission?
Ooh. If it's a good submission, I'll go submission.
Drop kick or shoulder tackle?
I love a good drop kick.
Wawa or sheets?
Oh, man. We're going to go sheets.
Bus or plane?
Plane. Definitely plane.
Baseball or hockey?
Baseball.
Bret Hart or Bret Havoc?
Bret Hart.
No DQ match or submission match?
No DQ.
Boots or shoe and kick pads?
Before I would have sold you kick pads, but I'm a boots guy now. I love boots.
All right. And one last one from QT, Pontiac GTO or Dodge Charger?
Dodge Charger.
All right. Well, Chase, with the holidays in mid-swing here, we still have a few nights of Hanukkah left. We have the upcoming Epiphany holiday, New Year's, Valentine's Day, not that far into the future. One-way wrestlers make up a lot of money in this business is by merchandising and selling products to fans at shows or online or however they get the merchandise to them. Have you done much merchandising of yourself in your career so far?
I had the very first thing that I had was some T-shirts, and then after that, once the summertime rolled around, I had some glow-in-the-dark tank tops. And then around last wintertime, I had hoodies, and I had bracelets and pictures, and most recently, I've been selling out of my towels. I have our Lost Boy towels, and then last that I have right now on me are the Lost Boy keychains.
How did I not get one of these keychains last month?
They just came in, that's why.
I'll accept that as a reasonable answer. Although now, the next time
I'll
come across you in some random state, I will expect a keychain. Well, we got a few minutes of the show left, and I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you want to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything and everything, upcoming shows, the merchandise, the social medias, your favorite chicken restaurant, anything in the world you want, floor is all yours.
I will say for everybody to check out shows such as PPW having their first show tonight in their new venue at the Malice Manor in Clarksville, Indiana. I have to remember exactly what part of Indiana, because it's not Jeffersonville anymore. They got out of the arena. But PPW is putting on a show called What's the Difference Tonight. Everybody should check them out every month. Everybody should check out NGW Tennessee, who's been real good to us. Me and the rest of the Lost Boys are in a tag tournament for them coming up, going into 2020 to crown their new tag team champion. So we're looking forward to participating in winning some tag team gold for the first time. There's the Pro Wrestling Revolver going on tonight. There's Bizarro Lucha every month, and Southern Underground Pro every other month. You got to check out all these shows. You can find them on indiewrestling.tv, NGW. You can find them on Holly Spots Network. You can follow myself on Twitter and Instagram at Chase Holiday X. You can follow also my the Lost Boys page at the Lost Boys 005 on Instagram and Twitter. And on there, that group consists of myself, Adam Slade, Hoodfoot, Bradley Prescott IV, and Levi Everett. So follow us on that social media. Again, it is the Lost Boys 005, and mine is Chase Holiday X on Twitter and Instagram.
Well, Chase, it has been fantastic having you here with us today. I look forward to the next time our paths cross and I pick up a keychain. And I want to wish you the best luck as you continue forward in your career.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Welcome back anytime. Fans, if you've not gotten yourself familiar with Chase Holiday, you need to rectify that. He's a fantastic young talent. He's going to be doing big things in this business, I think. So make sure you keep abreast of all of his travels. If he's anywhere near you, go buy yourself a ticket and enjoy what he does. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon.